everybody. I want to welcome you to the Raw Spiel, where we keep it real with the hard truth. I'm very happy to have with me Mr. Fred Rice of the Pilgrim Jubilee, the legendary Pilgrim Jubilees. I tell y'all, I grew up in a quartet. I played and sung in one myself. And, you know, I'm just thinking, before I joined the quartet I was in, I'm from Louisiana. And, you know, I used to travel with my dad down the road. And I always have a case of cassette tapes that we'll be listening to quartets. And I tell you, the Jubilees, the Pilgrim Jubilees were one of them. And I have the Pilgrim Jubilee, Dixie Hummingbird, Soul Stir. So we going to a program. So we listening to them groups on the way there. So I'm just really happy to have Mr. Fred Rice of the legendary Pilgrim Jubilees join me on here. Sir, thank you for coming on. Thank you for agreeing to this interview.
Oh man, I'm honored to be here. Honored to be asked.
Oh yes, sir. And just tell us, how did you wind up with the Pilgrim Jubilees? If you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, that started a little bit over 29 years ago. I was at a program that they were on, and I filled in. Michael wasn't there, and I played bass that night, and it took off from there. I've been playing and singing ever since. But that's how it started. I sat in one night, you know, that's in Columbus, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you, that's all right. If I wasn't seeing anything, I'm sure I saw a video with you. Were you with the Blind Boys of Alabama at one point too?
I did a few years with the Blind Boys. Yeah, I did.
Okay, now, well, how do we start? Yeah, how you hook up with them guys? I know them guys. I look at their itinerary. I know them guys. They stay super busy. I don't know how things are now since that pandemic hit, but
right.
I know they was. I'm talking about busy.
Yeah, they stay busy, man. But that came about, that came from inside of the Pilgrim Jubilee.
Okay. Yeah.
I got a call from Bobby, a guitar player, Bobby McDougal. He called me. They needed a bass player for a weekend. And Clarence had called him. And Bobby called me and told me, he said, hey, Clarence wants you to call him. He said, call him because I told him you were going to call him. And I called him, and that's how I connected with the Blind Boy. That came from inside of the group. And I had about two and a half to three years run with the Blind Boy.
Okay. Okay, when you with the Blind Boys and the Jews, did they did like certain dates collide? You know, maybe the Jews had somewhere, maybe the Jews and the Blind Boys had to be at the same place at the same time. Did you ever run into that situation? And how did you go about choosing which way to go? I know it had to be a tough one.
Yeah. Well, what happened? They had a few tours coming up, and they wanted me. They liked my work, you know. So what I did, I talked to Major about it, and he told me to go ahead and do it. They had the dates, got an opportunity to make, you know, a pretty decent living. So he said, hey man, anytime when you get ready to come back here, your job is waiting for you. And the thing is, I never left the Jews. See, that's the thing.
Right.
I always did both. But when I had to choose, you know, I had already went through the proper channels. And I mm-hmm. was, that's how it happened. That's how it went.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Y'all, we're speaking with Mr. Fred Rice of the Pilgrim Jubilees. You know, some time ago, I talked with Reverend, I'm sorry, Pastor Carlton Lewis of the Dixie Hummingbirds. And I mentioned to him, Mr. James Davis. Now he was known for being real strict. He had some of his rules that he had for the hummingbirds, even down to the to their clothes. If they were late, they got fined. Things of that nature. Yeah, so he ruled. He was pretty tight, pretty stern leader. So your time with the Jews under Mr. Clay and Cleve, Major and Ben, did they have any strict rules that kind of stick out to you right now?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, man, several, but the biggest thing was being prompt and having respect for the group and yourself. As long as you could cover those bases, that you didn't have a problem. Yeah, but yeah, we had rules we had to go by, and he didn't Major didn't mind finding you.
Yeah, I tell you I tell you that's what it takes. Groups like the Pilgrim Jubilees and also like the Hummingbirds, Hummingbirds been around for almost 100 years because of those strict guidelines. And even after Mr. James Davis had retired, even though they didn't have a manager, he laid down the foundation, and they still going at it. And I know, unfortunately, most of the core guys are gone for the Jews. Mr. Major Robinson, Ben Chandler, Clay Graham, and Bobby. But so y'all, even though they're gone, y'all still got those rules in place for the, I guess for yeah for your current lineup.
We got the same mindset, same feel like if it got them where it got them, it could take us a little bit farther. So yeah, we have the same rules. I was looking for another word, but that's yeah. Yeah, because
That's
see
good.
what it does, it see we have seemed to some of us have seemed to have lost respect for what we do and what and who we stand for, and those rules help to keep a lot of that stuff in perspective, Yeah, that's what it's all about. I tell you, see, man, like when I first went on the road with the Jews, you just like going to the program, of course they wanted us there on time, but then we had to be dressed.
Yes, sir.
We couldn't come looking any kind of way. And they really want you to have a suit on with a tie, but they would take, dress clothes, like shirts out and untucked. That didn't work.
Yeah.
That didn't work back then. Blue jeans and tennis shoes.
I hear you, man. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yes.
The trend nowadays, you have to keep up, be, not so much as do what they do, but stay relevant,
Right.
but we also have to stay respectful.
Definitely that, y'all. We're with Mr. Fred Rice of the legendary Pilgrim Jubilees. How was Cleve Graham holding up? How was he doing nowadays?
Cleve is doing pretty good, man. He's in good spirit and everything. We were together on 2 weeks ago. He was there with us, and he's doing pretty good. Blessed to be here still.
Oh yes. Yeah, like I said, I'm glad that he's one of the few legends from the golden era that's still with us. So I'm
Yeah,
so
we
grateful
pray.
that he's here. And he's able to travel on them whenever he can. That's a blessing.
That's
and
right. That's
okay
right.
so I know you have two new guys. You got yourself, you got Eddie Graham, Mike Atkins. And then who are the I see there's two or three other fellas. What's your current lineup of the juniors?
Well, we got we got a guy from Westport, Mississippi, the Ben Chandler's nephew, great nephew.
Yeah.
He's singing tenor.
Okay.
And Ben, he kind of just like Ben too.
Yeah, he got that sound.
he got the sound and a lot of Ben's characteristic. Yeah. Sometimes it's just like being around Ben all over again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He fit right in with us too, man. And he's doing a great job. And we have another young man from West Point, that Jose Larry. He was doing the baritone stuff, and I kind of moved him, you know, because he's kind of middle voice, second tenor, and baritone. He does
okay.
a good job. Doing a good job.
All right. Yes, I tell you, and I tell y'all this, you know, groups like the Pilgrim Jubilees, Soul Stir, Dixie Hummingbirds, they, even though the core has gone, they left y'all behind a lot of songs. If y'all don't, I mean, I know y'all able to, you know, write your own stuff, but if not, y'all got catalogs and.
Yeah.
Catalogs of songs to choose from.
Yeah.
You know, you only got to write another song if you don't want to.
Yeah.
And from what I, you have a new one that I'm sure I wasn't prepared to, I wanted to play some of y'all new stuff, but y'all pretty much went back into the vault and dug up some old goodies and
we did.
And redone them. Yeah. And like, thing I like about the team, yeah, and I want to tip my hats off to you guys. Y'all guys are maintaining that Pilgrim Jubilee sound.
Okay.
And then, man, I really appreciate y'all for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We want to stay true to our roots. Like I said, we want to be relevant, but we want to stay true to our sound.
Yes,
we
indeed.
Went back and did a few of the older songs because we just wanted to show, you know, that we were able to produce the Pilgrim Jubilee sound. And we have some new material. We already got some new stuff, but we just wanted to go back, you know, and some of that stuff would fit today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I tell you all the Jubes. They are really one of the trailblazers out there. Matter of fact, when I was in the quartet, I wrote a few songs, and I know one song in particular. I had the Pilgrim Jubilees in mind from the intro to the rhythm guitar. That was just straight up Pilgrim Jubilees influence on that song. On the song I wrote. So
okay,
y'all, we talking about some trailblazers here. The Pilgrim Jubilees. Your time with the Jubes, you know, when Mr. Clay, Mr. Ben, and Major was around, your time traveling up and down the road with them, with those guys, the core group, did you experience any kind of like competition from the, you feel like in that competition or tension from other groups that might have been on the same bill as y'all?
Well, that's it's not a tricky question. That's not the word. It's hard to give a yes or no answer to that question. Now, the thing is, from what I experienced and what I've learned over the years, is, you know, everything we do, if it involves someone else, it's to some degree competitive.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it is. So we just have to accept that. That's just the nature of man. Now, as far as trying to outdo one another, I've never experienced that attitude coming from any of the guys, you know, that was doing it when I, you know, when I started.
Yeah.
Everybody did their thing. Now, when they hit the stage, they hit the stage, all of them. But I just didn't experience no animosity, I guess that's a word to use, or trying to just literally outdo someone.
Right.
I never seen that. Everybody came to do what the Lord gave them to do, and they did it. But, you know, they didn't have to, because all those guys had their own identity, and they were comfortable with themselves. You know, they didn't worry about what the next man did. And if it was, I didn't experience it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad to hear that too, because, you know, sometimes I be on certain social media sites, and I listen, especially in the quartet field. I know it's not just in quartets, but it seems like in today's time, people are open to competition.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know people say, even if you say, "Oh, I'm just doing this for the Lord," they'd be like, "Man, get out of here! Nobody want to hear that." You know, I hear stuff like that. I'm like, ultimately, well, what you do for Christ, that's what's going to last.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed. You know, now that's why, unfortunately, that kind of give, you know, quartet a bad name. But I know it's not just a quartet feel. But like I said, I know I just listen, you know, nowadays, you know, people are more open to saying, "Oh, it's a competition." Sometimes they even have programs that's, I guess, set up as a competitive nature. That's what I say, man, I don't know how you can consciously, you know, saying this is competition, but you, okay, let's say you, if you standing, if God standing before you right now, you know, you've got to answer to that. You go ask, okay, God saying, okay, are you praising me, or are you trying to gain the world? That's basically what it's seems like it's coming down to. It's kind of discouraging to hear people just trying to make a competition when you're supposed to be ministering. Huh?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, so that is something. And you know, and those of you out there, you know, the people that you believe, they have a book. They do have a book out. And when that book came out, like in 2003, what year did that book come out?
No, excuse me. No, that was, you're taking me back now. right, I think it was 2002.
2002?
It is 2002 or 2003, one of them. I was going to say 2002, though.
If y'all don't have a copy, it's a good read. I don't know what happened to mine. I had a copy. I don't know what happened to mine.
I was looking at it a few weeks ago, but it's 2002 or 2003.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And other one. And now my mind goes back to what Clay Graham was saying in the book. I'm just going to paraphrase. That was he spoke on competition. Now, I mean, there was certain groups in that era that didn't want to be on the same program with the Jews for whatever reason. I'm sure they know what gonna happen when the Jews hit the floor. They have a church. They go tear it down. He named a couple of the groups in the book. but that's about what I actually know. You know, things are toned down from that era to now. That's why I was kind of curious, You know, there's people out there that are trying to throw mud on your city. You know, maybe mysteriously, y'all, the Jews on program, and all of a sudden the mics not working right. You know, just I just wonder about stuff like that.
Well, that has happened.
Oh yeah.
I've experienced that. You know, I've experienced it. That's But yeah, I'm just thinking of overall, as far as just competing goals. But if you just break it down, you know, piece by piece, then you'll find it.
Oh yeah. Now we were speaking to Mr. Fred Rice of the legendary Pilgrim Jubilees, and I tell you, you hung around the core. I'm asking about each member. Let's see, let's start with Major Robinson. How was it like, spending all the time with him? What was he like off stage?
Major was a cool dude.
Yeah.
And he liked me, man, because I don't know. I don't know. Major was like a father away from home for me. Yeah. Yeah. He took me pretty much under his wing, man. And I did a lot of on several of those recordings. It's actually me singing the baritone and not Major.
Okay.
You know, so it was a while before my name appeared in any credit or anything like that. I think I had did about 3 recordings before. As a matter of fact, I know I did 2 before. I think it was 3 before my name actually appeared on a any credits, but that's me most of the time.
Yeah, so I think I was listening to you talking to Mr. Jonas Ross. So he was on that In Revival too. He was one of
that
the background singers.
Record, yeah.
Oh, I tell you, that's
In Revival.
You know, why didn't Malico put that on video? Man,
they asked that same question.
I tell you, that's something. And what about being what kind of person being was on and off stage? What are some of your memories of Mr. Ben Chandler?
Ben, you know, all the guys were good guys. Let me say that first and foremost. All of them. He was just like a family man. You know, like your mother and your brothers, your father. That's what it was. You know,
okay.
The love was that way. The even the chastisement pretty much was that way. And it was all done out of love. Yeah. But to get to your question, Ben was like a prankster. He liked to joke around a lot. You know, to keep people laughing all the time. He always had something going on.
Oh, yeah.
Then on the stage, oh, man. I fit right in. It's like my whole life, that's where I was trying to find my sound. My style. I mean, people were thinking that I was a son, you know. They were saying Major had to be my daddy. Major had to be my granddad. I said, no, then Ben must be my daddy. Ben must be my granddad. And it went on, you know. They say, well, you talk like him. You walk like him. You act just like a Jew. I just, you know, it's just one of them things, you know, man. But yeah, it was great, and I miss it. I miss every one of them.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And we just being with Mr. Prayer to rise healthy, Pilgrim Jubilees. And what about Mr. By the way, we'll lump them together, Mr. Clay and Cleve Graham. You know, I tell you, I wish those guys was around. I wish, you know, Major Ben and, you know, Clay was still here. I would have loved to see them all together, you know, live in person. But, you know, to me, it seemed like, you know, according to that book, you know, listening to that, being a Pilgrim Jubilee's book, it just seemed like Clay was a straight shooter. You know, it just seemed like he just, you know, he seemed like he, you know, he really, you know, meant business. Yeah, so what is, like, what was Clay and Cleve like on and off the stage?
Well, I'll start with on the stage part. And there was a 1-2 punch.
Oh, yeah.
On the stage. Different, you know, they had different characteristics. And neither one tried to compete with the other, or, you know, you find yourself, someone else is doing something that you may emulate it or say, well, I'm going to use this and put it over here and make something. Not, never, they were unique in their own way, and they were masters of their craft.
Oh, yeah.
Both. And Clay, more so than Cleve, but here's the thing. Clay was a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
He mistakes weren't in his vocabulary.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, but what I was trying to say is the difference in the two of a man. Clay were the same way; they wanted it right, but Clay would tell you straight up. Cleve, not so much. A little bit more passive. That was the difference than the two brothers on the stage. But off the stage, man, you know, like I said before, that family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that family. And if you notice, Jubilee were one of few groups, very few, that actually stayed together. Same members. For at least 50 years.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And
yeah, over 50, but I'm just saying at least 50 years. The same guys. So that ought to say a little bit about, you know, the character of the Pilgrim Jubilees as a whole.
Definitely so. I tell you, that's. How long did you been together? About 7 years now.
The group
the Jews been in existence.
Actually, started in 1944.
Oh man!
In Houston, Mississippi.
Yeah, I tell you, that's a long time, and like I said, that takes commitment. You got to have some kind of rules or something to last that long.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's
got to have the Lord on your side.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I tell you, and everybody says, okay, and when you guys go on these different programs and stuff, so I know sometimes you might run into some shady promoters. They may not, you know, you might agree on the price or whatever, and you get there, and they fall short. They supposedly fall short. So, have y'all? Well, I'm sure. Okay, when y'all experienced that, how did you guys go about handling a situation like that, if it ever happened?
Yeah, it unfortunately it does happen, and it has happened, man. Well, you know, if it just has to happen, you know, first thing, you just have to put that aside and dwell on why we're there in the first place. And try to focus on going inside and ministering to God's people. And we worry about the pizzas, man, after. And man, he always work it out, though. The Lord always work it out. Yeah. But it had to happen, bro. But, I mean, you know, I don't can't say about other groups, but for us, we go ahead on and, you know, because you never know things happen sometime for a reason, and sometimes if you don't be obedient to what you called to do, you miss your blessing and the opportunity to bless somebody else.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. That's something I just, yeah, my mind went back when I was still in my hometown. You know, originally from Louisiana, I was in a local group, but I think the guy promoting it, he got the, yeah, he was, I think he had booked the keynotes, and I don't know what happened. I saw both of the tallies, the bass and the guitar player came off the bus. I don't know what happened. They talked to the promoter, whatever. Then before you know it, I looked up. They was on that bus and gone. I said, "Man, I don't know what happened." I was just speculating. It might have just been I guess whatever agreed price wasn't there. But I guess that happens pretty common. You know, like I said, I guess some groups. Like you said, they handle it differently. Like I said, the Jews, they just go ahead and do what y'all there to do. And some groups, hey, you ain't got to be gone. I know some cats heard back in the day, they be carrying guns. So,
yeah, well, you know, that sometimes it depends on the circumstances around what happens.
Right.
You know, a lot of times, you know, some of the promoters would be unnecessary changes. I'll put it that way. You know, so that changed the circumstance, the whole atmosphere of the situation. You know, the older group, I don't know none of them just being too naive to perform.
Right.
If everything on the up and up. See.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, a joker push your back up against the wall, man, with that slick stuff.
Yeah, that's.
You know.
Yeah, I know the stuff, yeah.
Sometimes you have to take a stand.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. I see what you're saying. Yeah, there's. You know, like I heard of an example. There's no major artist, you know, about the same, you know. I guess one of the musicians talked to the promoter, whatever, but he said, "Oh man, the money ain't here." So the guy, he was looking at the audience and see, yeah, the money there. But he, I guess he cornered the guy in the bathroom. He locked the door. But they got the money. They got the group got paid. But it's a shame you had to go to the extreme.
Yeah.
To get it, but it happens, man. You got the money.
It happens, man. It happens. Yeah. And see, like them ticket programs like that back in the day, Major, he would have me and Ben used to help him. You know, he'd be on the dough. And he put me on one side and Ben on the other side. We count them heads, see if them heads match them tickets that this guy said we got.
That's how you got to do it.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes, you know, place be packed, running over with people. And you look around and this guy's gone. With all the money. Now, the people, they're waiting to see who you know, they came to see. They don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that put you, you know, in, like I said, the different situations call for different measures. But overall, you know, all the group, and I'm not, this, I'm just going from experience, man. You know, I don't know anyone that just actually say, well, okay, well, you ain't got my money, I ain't saying it.
Mm-hmm.
There are circumstances around that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'll tell you, that reminds me of a interview I heard when B.B. King was giving. I think he got that promoter good. He, I think B.B. King was saying he was playing somewhere to get the promoter said he wasn't going to pay him. Yeah, all right. So B.B. King did his set. But then B.B. King got on the mic and said, well, the promoter said he's not going to pay me, but y'all pay the ticket to hear me, but I'm not getting paid. But y'all do what y'all want to do. So I guess all the people bomb versus, you know, I guess they got their money back. No, B.B. King's, like I said, it ain't just in gospel. It goes all across the board, I guess, in the blues, R&B, it goes all over. But I just think it's a shame that it happens in the gospel field, knowing what, you know, if your goal is to, if it's for God, if it's to lift up his name, if it's to minister to people, it's a shame. It's just some underhanded shady stuff. You got to worry about that too. That's just my opinion, y'all. Yeah. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. You go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you know, that's how, you know, like a lot of times when the group stalls to come out, that's what be going on. Put a little pressure on that promoter, because the people are going to start wondering why the group ain't coming out. Everybody start asking questions, and everybody wants their money back. Well, you'd rather come on up with these few extra dollars than give these people their money back.
I have a ride up in there.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Mr. Fred Rice with the Pilgrim Jubilees that we're speaking with. Yeah, so what's so y'all, well first of all, anybody that want to book y'all, who did they make contact with?
You contact Eddie Graham, that's 662-452-4347. Myself, 662-648-7132. Michael Atkins. And I cannot remember Mike's number off top of my head.
Okay. I
should have it in my hand. I'll have to add it.
Okay, man. So y'all heard that. So hope y'all heard that now, that y'all can want to book the Jubilees, the Pilgrim Jubilees in your area.
Yeah, you can contact us. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You can. They can contact us through our band page on Facebook or YouTube.
Y'all heard that, y'all. Be sure y'all reach out to them. You want them to hit the program. We got several ways to reach out to this legendary group, the Pilgrim Jubilees. Yeah, before we get out of here, I want to, good gracious, man. Oh, yeah. Got to ask you about Mr. Bobby and Mr. Mike Atkins. I'll tell you that Bobby, even when I was first learning to play the guitar, you know, besides my listening to my dad play, Mr. Madu was one of the ones I would listen to. I'll try to imitate his style. And I tell you, when I heard Don't Let Them Down. I did a fruit. That, boom, 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 boom. Now, look, I thought I was doing something. When I learned how to, now learned how to do that and that rhythm he was doing. So, yeah. So what was it like hanging around Mr. Bobby and Mike?
Okay, well, you know, you got two guys with masters of that craft. And man, I learned, you know, most of what I know from both of them. And, the guy was Mac Dougal. He was my main man. You know, I always try to play like him. Mm-hmm. He was started as a kid. He was just something about his sound that moved me.
Oh yeah.
So, and I find myself now doing a lot of things that he did, you know, or at least trying to anyway. He's such a dynamic sound, man. He was the sound of the Pickle Jubilee, you know, and him and Michael fit like hand and glove, you know, and it just worked out. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We still got Mike with us.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, we still got Mike with us. He's still thumping that bass.
Yes, he is, y'all. And I'm just, that's another legend, too, that's still with us. But Mike Atkins, I tell you, I try to fumble with the bass, too, but I ain't gonna even try to do what he do. I stick to the fundamentals and just let it go. I tell you. Yeah, man, I ain't gonna, the whole job, like I said, I appreciate you coming on here. And a new project, how can the people get a hold of your new project that you have out? And y'all have anything coming out in the future or just you can share that with us now?
Yeah, we got a EP out entitled "The Whole World Is Changing," and it's available on all digital outlets. That's the best way to get it. You can stream it, download, or purchase it on all of Spotify, YouTube, Amazon, all that stuff. Apple, whatever your streaming platform is there. And we would love for you to stream it, purchase it, or download, put it in your playlist. Pilgrim Jubilee. Yeah. And we going to start the first of this coming year working on a new project. So we hope to have something fresh for you by the spring of this coming year.
Y'all heard that right now. I'm looking forward to that. Y'all heard that, Mr.
Be new and old coming up this next time. New music and some of the older music.
Man, that's new and old. I tell you, I can't wait for that to come out. I'm looking forward to that from the Pilgrim Jubilees, and I tell you, Mr. Rice, I appreciate you for coming on, taking the time to, talk to me about the Pilgrim Jubilees, and looking forward to your new recording that's coming, that you guys are going to be working on. I'm looking forward to that, and again, y'all, appreciate everybody for tuning in, however you're listening, however you may be listening. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Thank Mr. Fred Rice for being part of the Raw Spiel. And until next time, everybody, God bless you all.
God bless.
Yes.